Please stop being friendly. Please sit down. It's enough niceties. Hey!
Hey!
Hi. Good morning.
Hey, I'm Andy, and occasionally I show up and hang out with you guys, and this is actually my church home, but there's some new faces I haven't met, so hi, I'm Andy.
Hi,
I didn't get around to all of you during that little welcome time, but I'll try to work on that. Hey, we're talking about wrecked relationships. Isn't that an awesome graphic? Yeah, I like it. I like it a lot. And but today's going to be painful. I'm sorry. I'm going to apologize up front. This is going to be a hard talk. This is going to be a difficult time. So I sort of want you to kind of get in that frame of mind for a moment. That we're going to go to some places. Here's something else that I really want to say. And I'm going to tell you, and then you're going to go, yeah, preacher boy. I'd really like for you to consider maybe taking notes. Not because of what I think is like, wow, you know, Andy, it's not what I have to say. I really actually believe, I've been praying about this morning, I really believe that God is going to do some great stuff in hearts today. What I don't want to have happen, though, is for us to just come on Sunday morning and get information, download, and then just walk out. That's not a good use of our time. What I really want to have happen, and what my desire is that we would take the Word of God, grab that football, and run with it this week. So, Sunday morning actually requires that there's some work to be done on your part afterwards. Does that make sense?
Yes.
It does. Because I think as Americans, you know, as going to church every Sunday, I think we get in this thing of, hey, that was a good talk, and then we take off. But what I really want to just drive home the point this morning is I think there's going to be some work to be done on your point, on your part, as we finish out this week. So there's going to be too much information for you to remember, but don't forget that there's going to be a podcast hit online, so you can go back and check it out this week if you feel like God's calling you to do that. Hey, so wrecked relationships, just wrecked it, period. We talked last week about how our relationship with God has been wrecked, right? And this week we're talking about how our relationship with people has been wrecked because of this world that we find ourselves living in. So I never had a really great car when I was a kid. And part of it is because Dave Ramsey got a hold of my parents. Ramsey is going to be the death of me. And savings, by the way. But Dave Ramsey says you have to pay cash for things, right? So my dad is like, we're paying cash for cars. Oh, so a lot of my cars were under $2,000, and one car in particular, I actually had to carry my mountain bike in the back because I would constantly break down, and so I'd have to, like, get it out, abandon, and keep going, you know? And I'm dead serious. And that same car had a bungee cord holding the door closed. I remember picking up a date once and walking around, and those were the times when I was wearing Tevas and wool socks, and walking around to the passenger side, undoing the bungee cord, kind of opening it up and looking at my date, and she was just like, what? I'm like, it's for safety. Get it in, you know, and pull the bungee cord across her lap and shut it. I know, really ghetto, but those are the sort of cars I had. That one died. Then I got another car that died, and actually it was on another date, and I had to actually open up the hood of that car while my date popped the clutch rolling down a hill. I got a crowbar sitting on the engine and popped the clutch, crawled across the hood into the window. So I've had some fun cars. But later on in life, I actually, in just in the last 2 years, I was actually able to get my first kind of sports car. Now you're going to see it and you're going to go, oh, hotty totty. It was cheap. But it's a really fun little car. And if you're a guy in here, you kind of know. Any guys in here you want to admit with me, you take pictures of your cars? Come on, just admit it. Get bold. Wow. Apparently I'm the only one. The rest of you, thank you. Thanks. I'd like a hug after. So, every car I've ever had, I think my dad did it too, every car I've ever had, even if it was like a car I wasn't proud of, because I need to sometimes revisit those hurt memories, I'll take a car, photo, picture. So here's the car that I bought. Isn't that gorgeous? Yeah. Here's what it looked like a couple weeks ago. I know, huh? So I got this sedan. It's fast. It's really, really fun. On I-15, and bam, this is what happens. Totally wrecked. Now, I don't know if you're like me, but when I get something that's really nice and then it has one scratch on it, are you like me? I'm like, I don't want it anymore. What a piece of junk, right? And that's how I love driving this car. And then I got hit in it from behind and in front. I got sandwiched right between several cars and I-15. And I remember as I hauled it away, looking at it, I go, I don't even want it anymore. I don't want it. How can that be repaired? I don't want anything to do with it. And weeks later, it finally got fixed. And guess what? Is it the same? It'll never be the same. But there are things that are better about it. There's things. It's a work in progress. I think oftentimes relationships are very similar, right? Sometimes when we have conflict in relationships, we've got a choice. We've got a choice, several choices, but really, in an overview, just two major choices. One, you can either go into that conflict and end up going deeper, right? And actually, sometimes your relationship comes out better. I've got people in my life I'm really, really close with, and in fact, I had a conversation last night with a really, really close friend, and I said, listen, this is kind of a fierce conversation we're having, and my friend agreed, but the reason we could have a fierce conversation is because we love each other. And guess what? We come out on the other side, and we're even closer. Wouldn't you like every relationship to be like that? But the reality is, because we live in a fallen world, and we live with people that sin, by the way, that's you and me, and we live with people that are, you know, hard and difficult, relationships get broken, and we get wrecked, and it hurts, and it's really painful. I've shed a lot of tears over the last couple of years over wrecked relationships. Have you? Right now, I want you to actually get into your mind somebody that you've got a wrecked relationship with right now. I'm not just talking a conversation kind of went bad. I'm talking a wrecked relationship. It's the kind of relationship where you look at it and you go, I don't know if that could ever be repaired. I don't even know if I want it to be repaired. It's so beyond being repaired. I'm so angry. I'm frustrated. I don't even know. You got somebody in mind? My guess is if you don't have somebody in mind, one, I kind of actually do want to hang out with you because you're incredibly healthy. But the other thing is that you may not actually be in deep relationships then. Because I think inherent to being in relationship means you're going to get hurt. I think inherent to being in friendship and being in even in love with somebody or in some sort of relationship that really, really matters means that we're going to have fierce conversations and that we're going to end up banging up against each other and hurting each other. And sometimes out of that comes wreckage. It just really, really does. So I want you to think about that person this morning. That's where the painful part of this whole process this morning is going to be. And I don't know what it is for you. It could be that this pain is emotional for you. It could be that somebody has hurt you deeply, physically, maybe sexually, maybe financially they've hurt you. Verbally, maybe they've abused you and hurt you. But you're going to be hurt in life by what people say and do to you. And I don't know who it is for you. It could have been a parent that hurt you badly. We all, as parents, don't want to think that we're hurting our kids. I'm just going to say for counseling right now. When they turn 18, I'm going to give them a big wad of cash. Go get counseling, right? Because I know I'm going to end up hurting my kids. Hopefully, I won't end up wrecking my kids. I don't know if it was a parent for you. I don't know if it was a spouse. I don't know if it was a friend. I don't know if it was a professional peer, whatever it might be. Who is it that has hurt you? I'm talking deeply here, that has wrecked their relationship with you, wounded you. Because those type of things leave you hurt and really angry and frustrated. There may be tears that you shed over that. It's the person sometimes that you lay awake looking at the ceiling at night just wondering and feeling this pit in your stomach, not knowing what to do. And the question that we're going to answer this morning is, how do you respond to that? So if it's a given, if you're sucking air and living in this world, it's a given you're going to have some wrecked relationships. You just will. So how do you respond to that? What do you do? How do you deal with painful memories that you may have? How do you deal with the wounds that may come? And I hate to tell you that there's only one antidote for it. We try lots of different things to deal with it. Sometimes we try distance. Sometimes we just cut people off, right? And we think that that's going to deal with it. Sometimes we write them off. Sometimes we retaliate. We try all different sort of things. But this morning, and you've already probably beat me to the punch, the only way to actually really deal, the only antidote to deal with hurt and painful memories in the past is forgiveness. That's it. That's the only option you've got. That is the only option. There's nothing else that can actually do that. Is through offering forgiveness, through asking for forgiveness, for accepting forgiveness, nothing else works. And here is the point. If you want to get on with your life, if you want your life to really, really count and you want to be happy in your life, then we have to learn to forgive people. We do. We've got to learn to forgive and get past some of these hurts and let it go. And that's exactly what we're going to be talking about this morning. And I think that there's a lot of faultiness when it comes to talking about forgiveness. So we're going to talk about that for a few minutes as well. But first, what I want to do is I want to pray, because this is kind of a sensitive subject. Would you bow your heads with me? Just let's spend a moment with God. Lord, one of the greatest things that you have given to us in life is the fact that we were not designed to do life alone. That the greatest adventures in life are shared. That's the way you set it up. And so God, first I just want to say thank you for that. Thank you that we don't have to be lone rangers and go through this life kind of eking it out on our own. That you've given us people that we fall in love with and that we trust. But Lord, we've messed this deal up too. And through sin, Lord, represented even in this room, if we had a chance to just share the stories, there would be a lot of pain through broken and wrecked relationships. So God, I just want to pause really quickly here right now, and I want to pray. I know that you are here. I know that you are present this morning, but I pray that you would attend to your children that are here. There are some people that are squirming in their heart right now at the thought of thinking about that person. There are people that are squirming at the thought of the word forgiveness. And so, Lord, I pray that you would, with your spirit, that you would really minister to us this morning. That you would challenge us. Give us boldness. Lord, I pray that in the name of Jesus, that you would protect this room as well as we talk about this truth. That you would remove distraction. That you would remove the plans of the evil one who would not want us to hear a message on forgiveness. We love you, Jesus. This is your time. Amen. As we get going, what I'd like to do first is I want to talk about some of the faulty thinking about forgiveness. There's some faults. I think it's easier to define what forgiveness is if we actually talk about the faulty thinking. And the first one is this. If you want to take some notes, you can write this down. Faulty thinking about forgiveness. First, forgiveness is not minimizing the seriousness of the offense, right? Forgiveness is not just minimizing. In other words, if somebody says, "Will you forgive me?" and you respond, "Oh yeah, it was no big deal. Hey, don't worry about it. It's no big deal. It didn't really matter." Or you just kind of blow it off. Really what you're doing, we're talking about serious offenses here. Really what you're doing is you're minimizing the seriousness of the offense. Now, I'm not talking about, "Oh, I just bumped into you. Yeah, sorry. You jerk. We're going to counseling." I'm not talking about that sort of stuff. I'm talking about the real wrecked relationships that we run into with one another. The real hurt. When you say, "Don't worry about it. It's fine," you're minimizing the hurt. And so forgiveness is not about minimizing the hurt. The hurt's real. The pain is real. Some people in here today, you're thinking about the pain that you're in, about a particular relationship. Guess what? That is real stuff. And if someone didn't tell you it didn't matter, that's not true. It does matter. If someone says to you, "Hey, it was not that big of a deal." No, no, no. It was a big deal. And when the hurt is a big deal, guess what? That makes forgiveness a big deal. Right? Don't cheapen the forgiveness. So that's the first thing about faulty thinking about forgiveness. Here's the second thing. It's not just minimizing. The second thing about forgiveness is it's not an instant restoration of trust, right? It's not what's the phrase that we use all the time? Forgive and forget. Say it with me. That's bogus. Go ahead. That's bogus. It's totally bogus because forgive and forget, you can't do it. You can't do it because guess what? You're not God. Sorry. Some of you are like, "Wait, checking your driver's license." No, you're not. You're not God. You can't forget. But that's biblical. No, it's not. Now, it's biblical when it's talking about God. Can God forget? Absolutely, because he's God. He's able to do that. And that's the beautiful thing about God. We cannot forget. We can't. And if you are trying to do that, you're actually kind of short-circuiting the working through, the process that you need to go through on forgiveness. You can't do it. Forgiveness is an instant. Trust needs to be rebuilt over time. So forgiveness is by grace. Trust is by action. Does that make sense? So I can forgive out of grace. Trust happens when I see your actions. Forgiveness and trust are not the same thing. So here's what I mean by that. If somebody has forgiven you, I'm sorry, if somebody has hurt you, you are commanded by the Bible. God says you must forgive them. Ouch. You must forgive them. That's what God says. You must do that. We're commanded to. We're going to talk about that more in a minute. But you do not have to trust someone instantly. Now, for some of you, you might actually hear that for the first time today and go, oh, well, now that makes my heart feel better. You do not have to trust someone instantly. Now, what's interesting, the person who is doing the hurting, guess what they want instantly? Trust. You've hurt me. I know, but you just got to trust me. I can't, but you should. I can't do that. I forgive you, but I'm not going to trust you. Trust is not instantaneous. It takes time to build. Now, if you're the one that has been doing the wrong, you're the one that's the violator, you better buckle up because it might be a long trip towards trust. It might be a lot of chapters towards trust. And part of you getting through those chapters is humility. I'm going to bank some trust here. I'm going to go, thank you for forgiving me, but I'm going to bank trust with you and I'm going to go the long haul. If you choose not to go the long haul, we've got some other character issues, don't we? So the first faulty thinking is that it's not instantaneous and it's not the same thing. And that it's not minimizing. Forgiveness is not minimizing the offense. It's a long period of time of building trust again and again so we have credibility with one another. So we have trust with one another. Here's the third one, if you want to write this down. The third thing about forgiveness, it is not resuming the relationship without changes. Sometimes I think we're afraid to forgive because we think, oh, I've got to go back to that old, dysfunctional, wrecked relationship. And the same hurting, the same unhealthiness, and everything. Guess what? That's not what forgiveness is about. Forgiveness is not just about saying, fine, we'll just continue our relationship as if nothing has happened. No, forgiveness isn't the same thing as just reuniting a relationship again. It's very different. For a relationship to be completely reunited, to be completely reconciled, there's got to be three things that happens on the part of the offender. The offender's got to repent. He's got to have a restitution. He's got to come and build trust again and go for it. Okay, that's a whole different talk. We'll hit that some other time on a Sunday morning because I'm not going to talk about those. If you're the violator, I'm not going to actually be talking about that. What I want to hit today is your role if somebody has hurt you. And your role when you've been hurt is forgiveness. And guess what? Your role is totally independent of whether or not somebody asks you for forgiveness or not. Well, you didn't ask me, so therefore I'm not giving it. Well, guess what? The fact that you give forgiveness is not dependent on whether or not somebody asks. It's not dependent on whether or not somebody actually deserves it. Ah, because in the end, they don't deserve it. If somebody hurts you, guess what? Do they deserve forgiveness? No, they don't. They don't deserve it, just like you didn't deserve forgiveness when you sinned against God. That was the whole message of Easter. We got something we didn't deserve. That's the whole purpose of grace. What did we deserve? Death, because I'm a sinner. Because I have turned my back against God. I have wronged God. I deserve death. When somebody wrongs me, what do they deserve? Death. Thank you. Death. And thanks for coming. Get to work on that. But they really do. Because it's sin. Forgiveness is not... forgiveness is not conditional on whether or not somebody asks for it or actually deserves it. You give forgiveness for your benefit, not for theirs. See, the whole topic of forgiveness, I think, is we misappropriate it as a leverage. I think we use it as leverage. I'm not going to forgive you, so I'm going to keep you on the hook. Guess what? You actually end up keeping you on the hook. Okay, I'm gonna just get a little bit deeper in, and this one might touch some areas here for a moment. If you're bitter today, that's why. If you're angry today, that's why. Because you're keeping people on the hook. Forgiveness is about your benefit. It's about your life and your heart. It's not about theirs. Do they deserve it? No, we already covered that. They don't deserve it. You need it. You absolutely need it. So that's the first major key that I want to make sure that we walk out of here knowing this morning, is that forgiveness is what you do instantly, regardless of whether or not they respond to you or actually take ownership for the hurt that someone has caused you. You do it. You do it immediately. And for some of you, thinking about forgiving someone, that person this morning, is almost unthinkable to you. Let's just get real for a moment. I'm talking about deep hurts. Somebody that has really wronged you. To think about forgiving them, does that not almost feel unthinkable? Man, I've been stuck in this way of bitterness. I've been stuck in this anger. You mean I have to forgive them and give that up? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what the Bible says. And that's almost unthinkable. So now we have to answer the question. So how do I actually let go of that hurt? What does that mean? I will tell you, there's things that people say in church that actually bother me sometimes, okay? One of the things is, hey, just give it all to God. All right. Thanks. Yeah, sometimes I respond like, I don't really actually know how to do that. Hey, just give it all to God. Okay, how? By lunchtime? By dinner? Right now? How do I do that? Because giving your life to God is a process of sucking air and living. And being here day after day in faithfulness with him, day after day, and having the conversation again and again and again, and trusting him and going back. And it's a process of trusting God. The same is true with how do I let go of my hurt? It's a process. It's something you got to do, and you actually have to do the work. You got to lean into it and actually do the work. How do I do it? Here's the first one. How do I actually let go of my hurt? There's three reasons why I need to do that. The first one is this. It's because God has actually forgiven me. Listen, in Matthew, I don't have time to go over this parable. I wish I did. But in Matthew, Jesus was talking. He was telling a story of the unforgiven servant, right? The servant that he's talking about here. There's three kind of truths. And you can read it later, actually. That might be a really good place to spend your time this week, just kind of reading through as we follow up from this Sunday in Matthew. And Jesus said, listen, if you've been hurt, there are three areas of forgiveness, why you actually ought to forgive. And the first one is because God has forgiven you. That's exactly what Trinity talked about last week, is that we have been reconciled in this relationship with God. God has forgiven me. That was the whole reason why Jesus died on the cross and ultimately, again, rose from the dead, right? It's because of forgiveness. God has given you, he's been giving me grace. And that's what Elevation is about, by the way. That's it. If you don't ever hear anything else other than that here at Elevation, then we're doing our job. Is that you are forgiven. You have grace for what you've done in the past. That is exactly what God has given you. So why is it that I have to let go of my hurt? Because God has forgiven me. He's forgiven me. And in fact, let me just give you a quick real kind of a feel-good statement that actually might make you go, that actually does feel good. You'll never have to forgive somebody more than what God has already forgiven them. So if you feel like, man, in order to forgive this person feels like the Grand Canyon, it's small compared to what God has done to forgive them, and ultimately what God has done to forgive you. But those Grand Canyons feel huge, don't they? You hurt me. You hurt me bad. Make sure you realize that is small compared to what you have done against God. Small. And God has forgiven you. Unconditionally, he has forgiven you. He forgives you constantly. He's persistent in that, even when we don't know that we're blowing it. Ooh, that's kind of scary. You know when you're sinning sometimes, don't you? Isn't it scary to know that you're sinning and you actually don't know it? You're spinning out of control. And God's like, I forgive you. Did I need it? You did. Sins of omission, things that I know and then things I don't even know. God forgives you for all of that. He wipes it out when you and I place our trust in Jesus Christ. So the bottom deal is that you'll never have to forgive somebody more than what God has already forgiven them. Check this out, Ephesians chapter 4, 32, a familiar verse for a lot of you. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ and God forgave you. And again, you know why it is that you and I sometimes have a hard time forgiving people? It's because you may not feel forgiven by God. See, if I don't really understand how much I've been forgiven by God, I am not going to be able to really apply that to forgiving other people. If I don't feel like I've been let off the hook, then I'm not going to want other people to feel like they're let off the hook. When I don't feel like I have received great grace in my life, when I don't really understand that, then I'm not going to give grace to other people. So one of the first checks here for your heart is, one of the reasons that you may not be giving forgiveness to somebody or able to forgive somebody is because you really actually need to get in touch with how much God has forgiven you. One of the greatest things you can do in your journey with God is to cover that topic right there, to jump full deep into it, to understand how much God just stinking loves you and how much grace he has given to you and how much he has just wiped that slate clean. Because when you are the recipient of that, you're going to want to give that to other people. And when you experience it, when you fully understand it and comprehend it, you'll find that you'll start freely giving forgiveness to other people in your life. But when you don't experience it, look out. Then you've got an issue. Here's the second deal. Why do we need to forgive people? Three reasons. One, because God has forgiven me. Here's the second one. I'm going to hit it really fast. Because resentment doesn't work. There it is. Resentment doesn't work because it's self-destructive. It is self-defeating. Resentment will always hurt you more than it hurts other people. Always. It will always cause you more pain. You know what resentment is like? Resentment is like grabbing a shotgun and pointing it at your chest and pulling the trigger, hoping that the recoil hurts the other person. You're always going to be hurt so much more. Resentment is the thing that causes so much pain. Now, if you want to talk about somebody who had every right to be resentful, let's talk about Job for a second. Remember him? Job, this great guy in the Bible that totally loves God and is in relationship with God, and all kinds of things happened, and terrorists came in. Terrorists came in, killed his kids. That alone right there would send me over the edge. Killed his kids, burned his crops, stole all his cattle, and then on top of that, Job got horrible diseases. Everything went wrong. If anyone had a right to be bitter, resentful about their life, it's this guy. But he didn't. He did not get resentful because he realized it didn't work. Now, when Job is talking to one of his friends, here's what he says in Job chapter 5, verse 2. To worry yourself to death with resentment would be a foolish, senseless thing to do. Resentment is foolishness. It's not even logical. It doesn't make any sense. It's ridiculous. In fact, when we live our life with resentment, we actually start getting kind of dumb. It's almost like you got to subtract 50 points off your IQ when you start living in resentment, because resentment leads to revenge sometimes, doesn't it? And you start getting stupid. And you start regretting your decisions. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 9 says this, it is foolish. You know, read that as this, you're a fool. You're a fool to harbor a grudge, because resentment and bitterness will not change the past. You can't do it. Your past is past, and it's over. It's done. But resentment keeps you in the pain. It keeps you living it again and again and again. You know what resentment is? It's when you're driving down I-15 and you're playing the conversation over again and again and again and again in your mind. Do you remember those books when we were kids, Choose Your Own Adventure? That's what resentment is. Resentment is like a really bad case of Choose Your Own Adventure, because you play it again and you go, if I had only done this, go to page 79. If I had only said this, go to page 36. If I could just get 5 seconds with that person, page 80. And you play that over and over, and you feel your heart just getting hard and bitter and resentment just welling up inside of you. Job 18:4 says this right here. Check it out on the screen. Here it is. Boom. You're only hurting yourself with your anger. Translation, you're going to be miserable. Resentment is like taking cancer and fire into your heart. You know what happens with fire? It just spreads. Just spreads. God did not create you to live with that sort of resentment. You got to let go of the pain. You got to let go of the wrecked relationships. Here's the last thing I need to tell you. Why do we need to let it go? It's because I will need more forgiveness in the future. God's forgiven me, but I'm going to need much more in the future. I'm just going to have to do it because forgiveness is a two-way street. One time a man came to John Wesley. He's a great pastor and evangelist, and he said, he was telling John Wesley about this guy who really hurt him. And Wesley said to him, "You got to forgive him." And the man said, "I could never, ever, ever forgive that person." And John Wesley said, "Then I hope you never sin." Why do I need to forgive? Because I'm going to need it more in the future. And if I'm unwilling to forgive, I'm going to find myself needed. So there it is. Why do I need to forgive? But we're going to answer one last question as we pull our time to a close in. How do I do it? If I've been deeply hurt and deeply wounded, I know that I need to forgive, but how do I actually do it? How do I follow through with that? And I just feel like I need to say this to you before we move on. If you've been hurt, I want to say, I'm sorry that you've gone through that. I really am. I really, really am. And that you need to know that God has wept with you. He just really has. And maybe you're being the tough guy, maybe you're being the tough girl, and you're not showing it on the outside, but your heart is hurting. You just need to know that God is sitting in your puddle with you. He really, really is. He feels what you feel, and he doesn't want you to be there. He's calling you to move. Remember, forgiveness is about you. It's about your heart. It's about your freedom. He didn't design for you to sit there in your guilt and your bitterness and your frustration. So how do you do it? I'm going to leave you with two thoughts. Just two thoughts on how to do this. First one is this. You and I both have to come to a point where we relinquish our rights to get even. Not yet, Perk. That we relinquish our rights to actually get even. In other words, we've got to let people off the hook. And if you're like me, I may respond, I do not want people that have hurt me to get off scot-free. I don't. I actually kind of want to hurt them. You're like, I'm not hanging out with you, Marsh. I do. And I think you probably feel the same way. I want to get even. I do kind of want to go after them. I want to make them hurt like I have hurt. I want to settle the score. But part of forgiveness is realizing that there is no fairness here. I'm called to just forgive. I've got to relinquish the right to want to get even. Check this out. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 19, never avenge yourself. In other words, don't even try to ever get revenge is what it's saying there. Don't go into vengeance. Leave that to God. For he said, I'm going to repay those who deserve it. See, God is a just God. God is a just God, and he's going to take it into his own hands. He says, don't take it into your own hands. Don't carry that. You weren't designed to carry that. It's going to ruin your life. You will be ruined by this. So let God take care of it. Relinquish this right to get even. Move on. Don't go after it. So how often do I have to do that? How often do I have to keep relinquishing my rights and go again and again? And the Bible says you got to do it a ton. Check this out. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 21, Peter was talking to Jesus here, and he says this. He said, Lord, how often should I forgive somebody who sins against me? Should I do it seven times? Peter's being really generous here. Seven? Maybe seven times? Is that a lot? And God, Jesus kind of responds, how about 70 times seven? How about 490 times, Peter? In other words, what Jesus is really saying is don't count it. Don't count. Just continue to forgive. Let it go. It's continual. It's not a one-shot deal. You continue to forgive and to forgive and to forgive and forgive. Now, how this works out when you want to let go of pain in your life and a wrecked relationship is when you remember it, you release it. You remember it, you release it. It comes back to your memory, you release it. You may have to do that deal 1,000 times. Because remember, we're not God. We don't forget. We release it. We let it go. How do you know when you've totally released it? Answer this in your head. How do you know when you've totally released it? It doesn't hurt anymore, does it? The hurt goes away. The bitterness is gone. The resentment is gone. It doesn't hurt anymore. You say, God, I give it to you. I'm going to let this person off the hook. In spite of what they've done to me, I'm going to let it off the hook. But every time I rehearse it, every time I go over the pain again and again in my life, it goes deeper and deeper. And instead of releasing it, I get weaker and weaker and weaker in my life. So we got to relinquish our rights to get even. Here's the second thing, and we're going to end on this. First, I relinquish my rights, and the second thing is this. How do I forgive somebody? I got to focus my life on God. I got to refocus my life on Him. I'm not going to focus on the hurt anymore. I got to focus on hope. I can't relive the pain anymore. I need to focus on the purpose that God has called me to do in my life. I can't focus on this person who has violated me, who has gone after me. I got to focus on Jesus Christ. He's the answer. That's it, guys. I hate to say this, but you may get some traction with some great self-help books from Barnes & Noble. You might. But the real key to forgiveness is not your power. It's focusing on Jesus Christ. Anybody ride motorcycles in here? We got any motorcyclists? Yeah. You know how this works. Ask Perko. He's got a great story about how to ride motorcycles. He'll tell you all about it. How riding motorcycles works is if you're trying to avoid something, guess what? Don't look at it. This is how it works. I'm riding my motorcycle and I see a rabbit. I'm like, rabbit, 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 rabbit. Boom! I hit the rabbit. That's just how it works when you're riding a motorcycle. Same thing with snowboarding. You know, rock, 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 rock. You hit the rock, right? When I focus, when I change my focus, I end up missing it. When someone has hurt me, don't focus on the pain. They've hurt me. They've hurt me. I become consumed. Focus on Jesus Christ. And you're not going to like this, but if you don't release the person that has wronged you, you're going to actually end up resembling them. You're going to become bitter, and you're going to be full of pain. Job says this in chapter 11, verse 13. Sometime, we're just going to spend a whole morning on this chapter right here, this little tiny piece here. This is an amazing truth. Put your heart right. Reach out to God. Then face the world again, firm and courageous. Then all your troubles will fade from your memory. Anybody want that? I want that. I want some stuff in my life to just kind of fade away and just this pain that sometimes I carry around with me. I want that to fade away. They're going to fade away from your memories like floods that are past and remembered no more. Just keep that verse up there for a second there. Look at what he says first. He says, put your heart right. In other words, forgive the wrongs that have been done against you. Put your heart right. Let the people off the hook that have wronged you. Let them go. Release them. Free yourself from the bitterness, the anger you've got. And then he says this, reach out to God. That's the refocusing on God part. First you let it go, and then you just refocus back on God. And I want to ask you, have you done that? Have you focused on the one that can give you the power to do it? Because if you haven't, you're going to have a really difficult time forgiving. You're going to have a really hard time allowing this pain to go. Be focused on God. If you're saying, I cannot forgive this person, you're actually right. You can't. You do not have enough in your heart to manufacture forgiveness. But God does. He'll give you every ounce of power you need to get that deal done. But it starts with knowing Jesus Christ. Because you need a bigger source. Then look at this at the end here. Then you'll be able to face the world again. You know what? When you get hurt, doesn't it feel like you want to crawl up in a ball? Just kind of roll up in a ball and hide out in a closet? Kind of get away from the hurt? He says here, when you refocus on Jesus Christ, when you put your heart right, you're going to fade. Those hurts will fade from memory. You're going to be able to live again. It's about your freedom. And I want that. And I want that for you guys. As we worship here, we've actually got a little bit of hard work to do. And you may or may not want to participate in this. You may just need to simmer on this topic for a while. But one of the worst things that you and I can do is to actually come to church on Sunday morning and walk out the same that we walked in. I don't care if you've been going to church for 20 years, 30, 40, or 2 weeks. It's devastating if you walk out the same way you walked in. I don't have it together. Man, I've known Jesus for over 20 years, and I'm still I feel like every week I'm learning more and more and more and more about my Savior. I'm learning about who he is. I'm learning about what he wants for my life. And I'm growing in him. So I want to challenge you today. You have an amazing opportunity to leave here free. Freer than maybe when you walked in. And it has everything to do with this topic of grace. And it starts with realizing how much you've been given. You have a God who is absolutely smitten with you. Let me say it again. You've got a God who is in love with you to the point where he gives you so much grace that you don't deserve, that you could never repay, that is bottomless, endless grace. And your freedom hinges on two things: whether or not you will accept that grace, and then second, if you will apply that grace to wrecked relationships. So this morning as we close, I want to invite you to actually think about that person that I asked you in the beginning about, their name in particular. And I'd like you to just take a few seconds here, not very long, and I want you to just center up on that pain. And then I'm going to challenge you to actually pray a prayer with me to release, to leave free, to let it go today, to not hold that person on the hook any longer. Now I'm telling you, that's bold. You want to talk about real strength and real boldness? That's it right there. Because you may have been carrying this pain with you for 15 years. I met a man the other day, hadn't talked to his dad in 20. How long do you want to carry it? Really, how long do you want to have that with you? It affects your quality of life. It affects your health. It affects your relationship with God, your Savior, and others around you. Let it go. Let it go. But they hurt me. Yeah. It's part of being in a relationship. Let them off the hook like you've been let off the hook by God. Let this be the day that you walk out of here. You're not going to forget it, but you're not going to stick it to him any longer.